This is the Everyday AI Show, the everyday podcast where we simplify AI and bring its power to your fingertips. Listen daily for practical advice to boost your career, business, and everyday life.
Did Microsoft just make the biggest power move in the AI world that no one's talking about? What's going on with the Neuralink chip? Can you really play chess using your brain? And what's going on with Stability AI? Every single week, we bring you the AI news that matters. You can spend a dozen, 30 hours each and every week trying to keep up with what's going on in the world of AI and how it's going to impact you. Or you can give us about 30 minutes every single Monday as we bring you the AI news that matters. What's going on, y'all? My name is Jordan Wilson. I'm the host of Everyday AI, and this show is for you. It's your daily live stream podcast and free daily newsletter helping everyday people like you and me learn and leverage what's going on in the world of generative AI. So I'm excited for today's show. Usually every single Monday, we bring you the AI news that matters. Like I talked about, we do this every single day at Everyday AI. Yes, Monday through Friday, we bring you the latest AI news, exclusive insights, etc. But hey, if you can only make it once a week, maybe you show up Monday just so you can really know what's going on, what's important, and you can stay on track to grow your company and to grow your career. And if you're joining us live, like Tara and Jay and Victor and Brian, thank you all. We appreciate it. If you're listening on the podcast, we appreciate that as well. Make sure, as always, to check out the show notes for a lot of additional resources for the things that we're talking about today. So each and every day, we recap our live stream, you know, whether it's myself going at it alone or whether we have a guest. We recap it every single day on our free daily newsletter. So make sure you go sign up for that at youreverydayai.com. The free daily newsletter is amazing. And our website, I tell people it is a free generative AI university now with 230 plus backlogs, live streams, podcasts, newsletters. You can go read them all. $0, 0 cents. All you got to do is go to youreverydayai.com. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk about the AI news that matters for the week of March 25th. All right, first and foremost, pretty big one, kind of under the radar, but Microsoft has announced not only its new AI division, but its first leader. So Mustafa Suleiman is the co-founder of DeepMind, and he's been hired by Microsoft to lead Microsoft's new AI division alongside his Inflection co-founder, Karen Simignan. All right, so essentially Microsoft is hiring away the two top leaders from Inflection AI, which has been a popular, they have their popular AI chatbot Pi and their Inflection large language model. So essentially, you know, Microsoft is now creating its own dedicated AI division to lead Copilot, which is kind of its, main AI offering. So, you know, essentially hiring off two of the top people from Inflection AI. So the move by Microsoft, though, has, I'd say, generated a little bit of controversy due to past accusations of bullying behavior at Google DeepMind and concerns about AI consolidation. So Suleiman will be the EVP, so the executive vice president, and the CEO of Microsoft AI. So that is reportedly the new division's name, Microsoft AI. And Suleiman will be focusing on advancing Copilot and other consumer AI products and research. And then you have Karen Simignan will join as the chief scientist of Microsoft AI. So some very interesting developments here. And a lot of people have been talking about online, okay, is this originally, back when we had the OpenAI controversy back in November, when OpenAI CEO Sam Altman was kind of fired and then subsequently rehired, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella kind of said, hey, don't worry, we're going to hire Sam Altman and he's going to lead, you know, our new AI project here at Microsoft. So presumably this has been in the works for some time, this new Microsoft AI division. Reportedly, Sam Altman was going to be leading it when he was ousted from OpenAI. But now we have the former, a Google co-founder of Google DeepMind in Mustafa Suleiman and the top two people there at Inflection AI. So pretty interesting news. And yeah, if you're joining us live, I'd love to hear what you all think of this move. Is Microsoft becoming too big in the AI space? Maybe. But I mean, this is just another example of Microsoft just flexing its muscle here, hiring on, one of the biggest names. If you want to talk about this, as sports, is definitely one of the biggest free agents, so to speak, in Mustafa Soliman, even though he wasn't a free agent. He was the CEO at Inflection. But, going out and acquiring one of the biggest names in AI to lead the new Microsoft AI division. All right. But don't worry. Hey, if you are an Inflection user, if you use Pi, they're still continuing on. Inflection has named a new CEO and has talked about their new AI model development as well. So Inflection did announce that Sean White will be the new CEO, and the company plans to bring its new Inflection large language model, Inflection 2.5, to Microsoft Azure and other cloud platforms. All right. That's not the only Microsoft news of the past couple of days. Maybe this one's even a little bigger, because I would say you have here Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella kind of throwing some shade here at OpenAI. All right, so Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella kind of dismissed OpenAI's importance amidst some closed source controversy. All right, so Nadella claimed in an interview with New York Magazine that Microsoft is fully equipped with people, compute power, data, and capabilities, suggesting self-sufficiency and AI development. So the recent statement from Nadella has caught kind of the tech world a little bit off guard. There has been kind of this chatter going on for the last couple of months that Microsoft was maybe a little too reliant on OpenAI. And, if you're new here, to the generative AI world, essentially Microsoft has invested more than $10 billion into OpenAI and reportedly has a 49% ownership stake in the company. But CEO Satya Nadella's some quotes here from this interview, ready, saying, and I quote, saying, "It wouldn't matter if OpenAI disappeared tomorrow. We have the data, IP rights, and all the capability." And then another quip from Satya Nadella said that Microsoft is below them, above them, around them, in reference to OpenAI. And this remark has been praised by many. So pretty bold move here by Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. Essentially, putting investors and large-scale partners at ease, right? Because I think a lot of people are looking at what's happening at OpenAI, and they look at what happened in November, right? With this ouster and the rehiring and the board shakeup at OpenAI. And I think, Satya Nadella during that time came in and was essentially a third-party mediator to kind of get Sam Altman back in the driver's seat there at OpenAI. So this is, I would say, a pretty bold move. Some headlines said that, this was a boss move by Satya Nadella, essentially saying, hey, as important as OpenAI is to our partnership to Microsoft AI, you got to look at these two things in tandem, right? So this big kind of a pseudo acquisition, It's something short of a pseudo acquisition of, Inflection, because they're not acquiring any of their technology. But, within the course of a week, you have Microsoft essentially acquiring the two head people at Inflection AI. And then in this interview, essentially coming out and saying that if it wouldn't matter if OpenAI disappeared tomorrow, we have the data, IP rights, and all the capability. So this is, I would say, hey, all other big tech CEOs, Google, Amazon, et cetera, you should be looking at what Satya Nadella is doing here. Huge acquisition and getting these two leaders to lead Microsoft AI, as well as a pretty bold move, right? It's like I was even scratching my head. I'm like, okay, is this a bold move or is this kind of throwing shade at OpenAI and saying, maybe underplaying the importance? But I would say you can't understate the importance right now of the GPT technology and how important that is to Microsoft, right? Presumably, they're probably working up on, you know, working on a backup plan just in case, you would assume, especially with this, you know, this kind of new splash hire for their new Microsoft AI division. But you have to imagine that the GPT technology is extremely important right now to Microsoft, a multi-trillion-dollar company, and its Copilot, right? So Copilot is built on top of the GPT-4 technology. So interesting, you know, statements from Satya Nadella. But yeah, what do y'all think? Was this a pretty bold move here by Microsoft in this acquisition and this statement? I think so. All right, more AI news that matters this week. Here's one that was grabbing some headlines. So the first Neuralink patient talks about the impact of the AI-powered brain chip. So Elon Musk's brain chip company Neuralink has successfully demonstrated a patient moving a cursor using the brain implants with the goal of connecting human brains to computers to help tackle neurological conditions. So according to a video released by the Neuralink team, the first patient to receive the Neuralink brain chip is named Noland Arbaugh, and he was able to play chess and a video game using the device. So Nolan was paralyzed from the shoulders down, or is paralyzed from the shoulders down, and used the Neuralink brain chip to play chess and control a computer cursor in the video released by Neuralink. So pretty amazing, right? So I think you have to look at this two different ways. What Neuralink has been working on, as controversial as it may be, right? You got to think brain chip, you know, in order to control things in the real world. It is, you know, a little bit of sci-fi, but there's obviously some very positive implications. You know, people who are suffering paralysis and other neurological conditions, this is obviously great news. Also, another thing to keep in mind, you know, you have to think, okay, what's the bigger picture here? Well, obviously, Elon Musk also has a couple other AI companies, not just, you know, XAI, but Optimus, right? So the Tesla Optimus bot. So Musk has previously alluded to the ability to use Neuralink's technology to restore full body movement when combined with Optimus robot limbs. So you do have to think eventually there will be a marrying of these two technologies, of the Neuralink kind of AI powered brain chip technology with kind of Tesla's bot or their Optimus bot's ability to move and function around in the real world. Talk about sci-fi when you combine, you know, a brain chip with a physical robot arm, things start to get both exciting and scary. Yeah, I'm excited for what's next too, Tara. All right. So what's next here on our AI news that matters? The Stability AI CEO has resigned. Not huge news here, but interesting nonetheless. All right. Let's give you the quick recap here. So Stability AI's founder and CEO, Ahmad Mostak, has stepped down from his role and the company's board, with the COO and CTO stepping in as interim co-CEOs. So at Stability AI, this, you know, if you've been following the AI news, this isn't, you know, shouldn't be a shock, because we've been hearing about this for months now. But this does follow a difficult period for the AI startup Stability AI, as they've had high turnover and multiple unsuccessful fundraising attempts. So Mostak's departure highlights concerns about the concentration of power in AI and the need for more transparent governance. Like we talked about, the startup has faced a lot of challenges, including high turnover and many unsuccessful fundraising attempts, despite its popular image generation tool, Stable Diffusion, and we've seen some of its new video capabilities. So pretty interesting that even though the Stable Diffusion model has been fairly successful, here you have a very highly visible CEO stepping down from a notable AI company in Stability AI. And you have to wonder if this is signaling to what's to come in the future, where even though you have seemingly successful AI companies that you think have to be doing great, they might be struggling, right? And I think this does ultimately come down to the cost of compute and being able to capitalize and commercialize off said compute and off, you know, large partnerships. So pretty interesting developments there at Stability AI. All right, our next piece of AI news that matters. Open Interpreter has released a new hardware device called 01, right? I love for all these AI companies to get together and maybe come up with some names that are a little easier to remember, because I think we had, you know, not only the Open Interpreter 01, I think we had the Rabbit 01, which was a hardware device. We have Figure 01. I get it. You know, this is the 01, but can we come up with names that maybe are a little unique? That would be great. Anyways, Open Interpreter has released their new hardware device called the 01. So it is powered by AI, and the 01 project is an open source ecosystem for artificially intelligent devices that combines code interpreting language models with speech recognition and voice synthesis. So right now, this is a hardware device. Think of it as a small little button, right? And you can carry it around with you and you can talk to it. And right now it's available for pre-order for $99 and allows users to use that small button to power their home computer even when they're not nearby. So make sure if you haven't already to sign up for our daily newsletter at youreverydayai.com. We'll be sharing some more thoughts on this, as well as a video from the company, a nice little 8-minute video overview. But essentially, I do think that this device actually has promise. You know, I'm not, you know, super bullish on a lot of AI hardware devices yet. Even the aforementioned Rabbit, I wasn't crazy about it. And then you have the Humane Pin, not crazy about that either. Hey, of all the ones I've seen, I think Open Interpreter is the one that would interest me the most. The only one that I'm seriously considering. All right, hey, for $99, I might give this one a look. So essentially, you know, using large language models and voice analysis, you can speak to this button essentially no matter where you are. Again, this is according to the marketing, so we'll see once the hardware device is actually released. But the ability to essentially talk to it, and you know, in the demo, it says, you know, asking questions to your computer at home. So you can essentially pair it with a home computer, and you know, you can say, "Hey, what's in this document on my desktop?" And it'll open up the document, it'll read it, and then it can perform actions on your behalf as well. You can also program the Open Interpreter 01 to learn and understand certain tasks that you may manually do on your computer, such as in the video example, they kind of teach the Figure 01 what it means to send a Slack message, right? And hey, side note, I'm not a Slack fan. Can we stop just Slack messages in general and maybe work a smarter way? Like, I don't know, ClickUp, something like that. Anyways, pretty interesting concept. And it does seem that Open Interpreter, true to its name, does want to kind of be the Linux. They want to be a very open platform and allow users who buy this hardware device to also program it, and inviting developers into the fold as well. So, I think a lot of people, when they think about generative AI and AI in general, right, we all think of software. We all think of, you know, the ChatGPTs and Midjourney and Sora, Runway, etc. But I do like kind of not all devices that have been released, but I like that you do have some of these companies pushing the hardware, because here's the reality: as generative AI gets smarter and smarter, how we use it, where we use it, why we use it, obviously changes, right? And presumably, the smarter that these large language models natural language processing, the stronger those things get, in theory, the less we should be in front of a computer, right? So whether, we are seeing a lot more edge AI, obviously, with the Samsung S24 and Galaxy AI, presumably we'll be getting, some updates here from Apple at the WWDC here in June. So bringing generative AI to the next Apple iPhone device, reportedly. But I do like to see other hardware companies getting into the fold, because I do think the future, whether we see it now or not, is not, you know, taking advantage of all of this generative AI in front of our, computers. I do think that there are other and better ways. So make sure to check the newsletter out for more on that.
Hey, Hey, this is Jordan, the host of Everyday AI. I've spent more than 1,000 hours inside ChatGPT, and I'm sharing all of my secrets in our free Prime Prompt Polish ChatGPT course that's only available to loyal listeners like you. Here's what Lindy, who works as an educational consultant, said about the PPP course.
I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting the results from ChatGPT that I needed and wanted. And after taking the PPP course, I now realize that I was not priming correctly. So I will be heading back into ChatGPT right now to practice my priming, prompting, and polishing.
Everyone's prompting wrong, and the PPP course fixes that. If you want access, go to podppp.com. Again, that's podppp.com. Sign up for the free course and start putting ChatGPT to work for you.
All right. Our next piece of AI news, we have a little, I mean, there wasn't a ton of news, but a little here. But Sam Altman joined the Lex Fridman podcast and talked about the future of GPT technology. Yes, you are listening to a podcast that is promoting another podcast, because I do think that this interview is a must listen, right? This was one of my favorite, the first time that Lex and Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, talked, it was one of my favorite podcasts. This one, I full disclosure, because I was at the NVIDIA GTC last week, haven't listened to the whole thing. I've listened to clips, but let me just go ahead and give you a high level overview of, does this matter? Well, a little bit. So first and foremost, no, GPT-5 was not announced in the podcast. Regardless of what you read on Twitter, no, there is no GPT-5, at least not now. So Sam Altman did say that they will, that OpenAI will be releasing a new model this year. He did say that, but he did not specifically say that model would be GPT-5. So in theory, we could be looking at GPT-4.5. Sam Altman did say that in the coming months, OpenAI would release many different things. And, you know, so that could be Sora. It could be other products, right? We've talked about here on the show. We've looked at multiple pieces of reporting that shows that OpenAI is working on agents, right? So, you know, we're not really sure what is coming in the coming months and this year, but Sam Altman did confirm that, yes, they will be releasing a new model this year, and they will be having other releases or updates coming in the coming months. And, you know, as always, I do think one of the main points of emphasis that Sam Altman was talking about is compute, right? And talking about how important compute is, which we're going to be talking about on the show tomorrow. So I don't want to give away too much of that. All right. Speaking of OpenAI, our last piece of AI news that matters this week, OpenAI is apparently taking Sora to Hollywood. All right. So Sora is, of course, OpenAI's, well, it's more than a text to video model, but on the surface, that's what it is. It allows you to enter a text prompt and output a very impressive, you know, 20 to 60 second, we've seen different reporting, 20 to 60 second video that is at least right now light years ahead of any competitor. Whether you're talking about Runway, Pika Labs, etc., it's a pretty big deal, right? And we talked about on this show that Sora is not really about AI video, right? So we'll try to link it in the description here. If you haven't listened to our podcast already on what Sora actually is, make sure to do that. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit on tomorrow's show as well, because the NVIDIA CEO is actually referencing something as well about Sora, but not necessarily its AI video quality. But in this case, with this new report of OpenAI is kind of shopping Sora around Hollywood, it obviously is for the AI video capabilities. So the software has impressed industry insiders like Tyler Perry, who reportedly delayed an $800 million studio expansion after witnessing Sora's capabilities. We talked about that on the show as well. Sora is expected to be released to the public later this year, with discussion ongoing to introduce AI advances in phases for safe implementation. So obviously the industry right now is abuzz with talks of AI's disruptive potential, especially following last year's Hollywood writers' strike. So OpenAI is hoping to gain traction in Hollywood and potentially disrupt the film industry with this new AI text to video technology. What do y'all think? Join it. Do you think that we're going to be seeing just mainly AI powered videos in the future? I would not be surprised, right? My bold prediction last year was that 2024 was going to be the year of AI video. Personally, I don't think we're going to see any full length, 90 minute, AI videos in 2024 via Sora. Well, it especially depends on when, some of these studios may get a hold of this, but it is going to be extremely disruptive for the industry. I do think that we're going to be seeing it on the big screens, whether we're talking in film festivals or in blockbuster movies. I do think that we're going to be seeing it within a year, depending on when these Hollywood studios get it. Again, not saying that it's going to be used exclusively, right, to create entire videos, but I do think that studios are going to start using this pretty much immediately to fill in shots. Sometimes you read, studios have to spend, tens of millions of dollars, reshooting a single scene reshooting something that they maybe forgot. I do think that you're going to see Sora pretty sooner rather than later. That's going to start to piece together some of these major productions, as well as, some shorts. I do think this is going to, Sora talked about this on the show before. I think it's going to see a rise to more personalized video. So a lot of, niche, animation, some niche shorts. But I think gone, when we look at the near future, gone are the days where, hey, here's the five big movies, that come out, every single weekend. Instead, I think you're going to see a lot of shorter films that are more targeted to very specific niche audiences. I do think that that is what the future of Sora looks like. Yeah. And like what Douglas is saying here in the live stream, I think Sora will come and impact with Pixar-like film first. Absolutely. Right. Like that's a great example. You would see all these like little Pixar shorts that would win film festivals that were pretty short. You had some that were 10 minutes, 15 minutes, etc. I do think that is the future of filmmaking, but pretty big news here from OpenAI reportedly shopping Sora around to Hollywood. All right. And then there's obviously some other big news, but we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But the NVIDIA GTC conference just went down in San Jose. So make sure to join us tomorrow, right? I was lucky enough to get some kind of closed door access to some cool events with NVIDIA, as well as some talks with their CEO. So I'm going to be sharing tomorrow, so make sure you tune in, the NVIDIA GTC recap and three ways NVIDIA is going to change the AI world. So make sure you join us for Hot Take Tuesday, coming in hot with three things that I think a lot of people aren't really talking about, these new NVIDIA GTC announcements. So make sure you check that out. And speaking of GTC, it is not too late. If you missed the entire conference, don't worry. Make sure to check the link in the show notes and the link in our newsletter. You can actually still sign up for free and rewatch every single workshop session event at GTC for free. So make sure you check that out. It's going to be in the newsletter. I don't know how much longer it's going to be up. I was told maybe just through the end of March. So if you haven't already, I mean, there's amazing. Like there's a panel, a Q&A that Jensen, the NVIDIA CEO, hosted with essentially the pioneers of the GPT technology. There's so much great exclusive AI content. It is free. Make sure you check out the link to sign up for that. And we'll see you back tomorrow and every day for more Everyday AI. Thanks so much. We'll see you.
And that's a wrap for today's edition of Everyday AI. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps keep us going. For a little more AI magic, visit youreverydayai.com and sign up to our daily newsletter so you don't get left behind. Go break some barriers, and we'll see you next time.